Ben Kuzma from the Vancouver province joins us once again. Ben, how are you?
I'm great. Nice to talk with you again.
Ben, the Canucks, I guess, bucking the trend a little bit, going with Luongo in back-to-back starts, despite him and Lack having virtually identical numbers.
Yeah, I think we're a little surprised here. I think this one kind of set itself up for Lack to play tonight against Edmonton, especially, like you mentioned, in a back-to-back situation in Chicago here on Wednesday. And, you know, kind of sets up maybe a bit of a danger game for the Canucks tonight. I know they're really relishing an opportunity to go up against the Hawks again, but I kind of had Lack paid for this one tonight. But I can understand coming back with Luongo. Because you know what? You just mentioned it. I mean, we never used to look at standings in late January. I mean, in the old Northwest Division, it was like, are you that bored that you're looking at standings? I mean, now we do, because the Pacific Division and more importantly, the Western Conference is ridiculously competitive. And I think it speaks to the fact that the Canucks want to make sure that, you know, they have a chance to win tonight against the Oilers, who haven't had any luck against the Canucks this year. But, you know, when the spirit moves them, as we saw in the Nashville game, can give you some trouble. So Roberto goes again tonight, and I don't know when Mr. Lack is going to see the net again. It could be when they go on their pre-Olympic road trip.
Yeah, I wondered if they looked at this and said, well, Chicago's a tough one. We need to beat Edmonton. We want to go with our guy.
Well, I think they want to make sure their guy is sharp, too. You know, the thing about Roberto, when he came off his latest injury on January 4th in Los Angeles, the infamous accidentally on purpose Dustin Brown Fosbury flop on his ankle, it's usually taken a long time to get back into form. You know, 3 or 4 games, maybe he lets in a couple of muffins. But this year, whether it's his earlier groin strain or this ankle injury, he's come right back. He had, you know, stopped 83 of 88 shots before last night, which is just a weird night. I mean, there were the two goals that we had a lot of fun with last night. I mean, and Antoine Vermette loses the handle on a partial breakaway, and Luongo's playing the deke, and the puck goes off Vermette's stick to the top of Luongo's blade and trickles in behind him. And then on a power play, and we know how bad the Canucks' power play is, it's 28th in the league, they were having all kind of trouble getting out of their own end, and Vermette had a chance, and Ryan Kessler figured, you know what, I'm going to chop this away from Vermette, and chopped it right over Luongo's shoulder. So Vermette did get a legitimate third goal, so he did get the hat trick. It's sort of semi-legitimate, but, you know, aside from that, Luongo's been good, and it's an interesting situation. Mike Smith, I know he's number 3 in the rotation for Team Canada, but it seems ever since he's been named to the team, I mean, 14 goals in 4 games, and we know what's going on in Montreal with the team playing so loosely in front of Carey Price. I think Bob Babcock might be having a couple of sleepless nights here as we get closer to Sochi.
Ben Kuzma joins us. Yeah, the goaltending maybe not great, although the goaltending wasn't the reason they won in 2010.
No, it wasn't. It was a team that, you know, figured, well, maybe we'll have Jonathan Toews on our team as a 13th forward, and they got some exceptional efforts, and they were one Pavel Dimitra shot away off a stick in the semifinal. It's a good enough team, but, you know, you look at what the Americans can trot out there and Jonathan Quick and Ryan Miller, and you would hope that the Canadians are good enough, but, you know, as we've referenced before, I mean, international ice is a different animal for Team Canada, so we'll see how it plays out. I'm of the mind that Roberto's the guy. You know, Babcock said he's going to look, you know, 4 or 5 weeks leading up to Sochi, who's going the best in terms of naming his starter. He doesn't like the rotation stuff. He wants to name a guy and go with him, and I've kind of been thinking it's going to be Luongo all along, not only from the season he's having, been there, done that, and there's a certain level of confidence that comes with that, and maybe alleviates a little bit of the pressure that comes if you're a first-time guy.
Ben, what's gone wrong with the Canucks' power play this year?
I asked that question repeatedly last night, and I was starting to get some of the weirdest answers in the world. I was, you know, Daniel Sedin, who hasn't scored in a dozen games, had one shot last night. I mean, they had 4 power plays. They didn't even get a shot on the first 3. They managed to get one on a 4-on-3, if you can imagine that, in overtime. He said, you know what, we're setting up on the left side. We're more dangerous when we set up on the right side. I think the problem with the Canucks is they play ring around the rosy. I mean, they're a perimeter team once they gain the zone, and they're into movement. They're into, you know, trying to maybe rotate a defenseman down low and have those backdoor plays, which, you know, they haven't had success on. Getting the puck back to the point, just letting a defenseman hammer it is kind of a moot point because, you know, if you're on the top of the slot, getting past that first wave of shot blockers, that puck's not even getting through. I just think it's kind of funny to me because it's become, this was a problem last year. I mean, those days of the Canucks getting a power play and stuffing the puck down your throat are long gone. I just think that they don't really practice it enough, and the Canucks lead the league in days off. I mean, the West Coast travel being what it is, they get at least that one day off a week and sometimes more. You don't practice it. I'm not sure how you're going to perfect it. They tried just about everything. They've had different guys. You know, they've had defensemen. And Kevin Dx at one point was the down low presence who was going to, you know, tip pucks or block shot or you know, cause commotion in front of the opposition goalie. They tried just about everybody on the point, and they tried all kinds of different combinations. I think what happens with the Canucks, they take that extra second to make a pass or make a play. Puck goes off a stick or bounces, and it's coming the other way. It's become a real sore point because even with a power play goal here or there, they're in a lot better shape than they are right now.
They can't score on a consistent enough basis. Although last night, Kessler and the Canucks weren't on the score sheet, and they scored five, so that's obviously a benefit for them. But Kevin Bieksa is not going to score you two goals every game, no. Ben. It's been talked about for a long time. What is Mike Gillis saying about his team's lack of scoring? Do you think there's anybody that they're looking at? We've heard Camilleri's name out there. You know, Alishamsky. You know, if the Oilers can trade with the Flames, maybe they can trade with the Canucks. I'm not sure. But what do they need, a right winger? Do they need a left winger? What do they need to jumpstart that team's offense?
Yes. I think the problem has always been in Vancouver that, you know, Ryan Kessler, he's often accused of not using his wingers enough. He gets frustrated, and, you know, when they get down and tries to stick handle through the whole team. But you could also argue, you know, who he's playing with on a rotation basis. I mean, you know, last night it was Chris Higgins and Alex Burrows. And, of course, Burrows has gone 21 games, no goals this year. I mean, foot injury, fractured foot. Broken jaw, nothing but bagels for him. And I think the Canucks, you know, they could be looking at somebody. Deep down, I think nobody wants to admit it in the organization, but you would think, you know, come March 5th trade deadline, they may not do that rental. They might try to get healthy and go with what they go because, like anybody else, their record in the Pacific Division is not very good. They don't match up well physically against L.A. or San Jose or even Anaheim. Are they going to be one and done? Are they going to give up to rent somebody like they did last year at the deadline, or they've repeatedly done? I think they hope to get healthy and then just take a shot and see what happens. I mean, we heard about P.A. Parenteau today in Colorado, you know, not a healthy scratch tonight, a guy who's, you know, going to be 31 next year, or I should say next month, $4 million, two more years. You would think on the surface that would pique the Canucks' interest, but he's going to be 31 next year, and that's the Canucks' problem. I mean, I don't think they really think they have the assets that they could, that would go the other way. And this is an aging hockey club. They don't need 31 or 32-year-old guys. They've got enough of those. So I think that what the Canucks are going to have to do here is really take a hard look at their options. I mean, they can buy David Booth out next summer. They cannot re-sign some guys. They got enough guys locked up long term and with no trade clauses that with the cap going up, maybe they go shopping next summer. I just don't see them being that active on March 5th because, you know, they don't have enough prospects or draft picks as it is. You know, they just don't have nothing on the farm. They don't have that top six guy that they can recall. And, you know, some of their bad moves are kind of coming home to roost.
What about the other way? Would they surprise people? And is there anybody that they would move out to acquire some prospects and stuff for the future?
Well, they could move. I mean, you know how hard it is to develop defensemen. I mean, Chris Tanev is a restricted free agent who's making $1.5 million, who has arguably been their best defenseman this year. I mean, he's going to get a sizable raise. I mean, there always is that Vancouver thing about, you know, maybe the hometown discount. I mean, but those guys are so hard to develop. I mean, they lucked out with him, and they lucked out with Ryan Stanton on off waivers. So the back end has not been the problem this year. I mean, injuries have hurt them, but usually we're talking about, you know, what can they do on the back end. I think they're fairly solid back there. So you don't want to give up that. And you know, when you talk about first-round picks, I mean, Bo Horvat, you know, they got they got Bo Horvat for Corey Schneider, and nothing against Bo Horvat, but you know, a couple of years ago when Columbus and Tampa were looking for goalies, they could have got a top six forward for Corey, but of course they couldn't move Roberto's contract at the draft. So they're in a situation here where they need to buy time. I mean, that's why the Sedins got their contract extension. That's why other guys have their contract extensions. They have to hope that the Bo Horvats of the world or the Hunter Shinkara, who had hip surgery earlier this month, can make that leap. I mean, the Brendan Gaunces of the world, the Nicholas Jensens, who just, you know, they're kind of off their radar right now. So that 21 to 25 age group, they don't really have anything there.
Yeah, it's definitely a concern when you don't have a lot in the cupboard, right?
And well, no question.
And if you try to go for a shot in the dark, it doesn't make sense. Because to me, when I look at Vancouver, and this is where it's the harsh reality, if you have to be realistic, are they good enough, even if they add one guy at the deadline, to beat a combination of San Jose and Anaheim in back-to-back series?
The answer is no and no. Mm-hmm. No, that's just it. I mean, maybe it was a little bit of a different scenario last year at the trade deadline. They went and got Derek Roy, but, you know, they gave up a second-round pick, and they gave up a defenseman in Kevin Connaughton, 6'2", 220, who was struggling in the minors, but goes to the Dallas organization and ends up playing for him. So, I mean, that hurts on several levels. You lose a second-round pick, and then a guy who suddenly clicks. I mean, it takes defensemen a long time, a good 5 years to develop, and even into a depth guy. And I think, they've done that over the years. I mean, even when they went to the Cup Final in 2011, they thought they had enough scoring, so they went and, they might have got Sammy Paulson at the trade deadline, a 37-year-old guy, because they thought that they needed that veteran presence, as opposed to do we have enough scoring? I mean, injuries hurt them throughout the playoffs as well. But, they've done this repeatedly at the trade deadline, and like a lot of other clubs, renting a piece thinking it's going to get them over the hump. But I think they've learned their lesson, and they've also learned through, some questionable drafting and questionable trades and contracts that, that window to win is kind of shrunk to a porthole, and I'll be very curious to see what they do or don't do come the trade deadline.
One last one for you. What's the update on Henrik?
Well, he's got, he took a pretty good two-hander from Martin Hansel last Thursday in Phoenix, and, there's a rib problem there. And, if you've ever had a rib injury, they don't have to be broken. I mean, even if they're bruised, it's pretty tough to breathe. I mean, the guy's a gamer. I mean, he's played through a lot of stuff. He's been playing with a broken finger, and it's been hurting him in the circle. But, when you get that rib injury, he doubled over pretty well there in Phoenix. So we haven't been given an update in terms of, is it a fracture? Is it bruised? Or, what is it? So, that's a concern. And Mike Santarelli, who was also hurt in that game on a collision with Hansel, left that game with his right arm in a sling, and he has a shoulder injury, and I think the Canucks are just waiting on a second opinion in terms of, can he rehab it this year or does he need surgery? So, there's another problem, too. A guy was having a great year, and suddenly he got another hole to fill.
Ben, it's going to be interesting tonight. Oilers going on the stats and not going back-to-back goaltenders, while the Canucks will go with Luongo. And the only two times he's done it this year, though, has been very good on the second night. The 931 against Chicago, and then a 951 save percentage and a blowout against Boston. So I guess they're rolling the dice.
Well, we'll see what occurs. We know there's a lot of talent on that club, and you just hope that everybody shows up and plays, because it should be a better brand of hockey than the last time they were in here. And there's no reason to expect anything less.
Appreciate your time.
Okay, take care.